Welcome to Bladder Buzz, the podcast where doctors, researchers, and consumers discuss bladder health and function for those with neurogenic bladder. On today's episode, we have a special crossover with SCI, Science Perspectives, brought to you by the American Spinal Injury Association. You're listening to a Community Perspectives episode with Parag Gad. Today, we will be discussing the ongoing clinical trial entitled Spinal Cord Neuromodulator by Spinex and Scone to treat neurogenic bladder, or the Scone Continence Clinical Study. This multi-site trial began May 2022.
I'm Marla.
And I'm David. Parag has more than 15 years of preclinical and clinical research and product development experience, both in academia and startups, and is interested in translating basic science into products that improve the quality of lives of individuals. He completed his basic bioengineering training from Mumbai, India, before pursuing his master's and PhD from the University of California, Los Angeles, specializing in neuroengineering. Parag has co-authored over 75 scientific papers and holds over 10 patents since 2019. Parag has been leading SpineX Incorporated, a clinical stage bioelectric med tech company developing non-invasive tools for patients with unmet clinical needs. Welcome, Parag.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for having me here. Really excited to share with you all the SpineX story.
Great. So there's certain companies that like I know about, my friends and chairs know about, and like SpineX. Do you guys have any other products? Are you guys kind of new to the market? Tell us a little bit about the history.
Yeah, we're a clinical stage company. We spin out from Dr. Reggie Edgerton's lab at UCLA. I have been personally associated with Reggie now for about 15 years. He was my PhD mentor while I was at UCLA. In late 2018, early 2019, we had the crazy idea to dive in and form a company and bring our technology to market, which is when I convinced our other collaborator, Dr. Evgeny Kraden, to come on board, and the three of us together formed SpineX. We are a young company. We've been active for about 5 years. We begin with neurogenic bladder and the SCONE device as our first indication, but have really developed a platform technology and have already diversified our product towards a pediatric device and are looking at movement disorders in children with cerebral palsy. We have a second device in the pipeline called SKIP.
That's great. So when I see SpineX or I see, you know, that this device is coming on the market and it's a neuromodulator, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a foreign concept maybe for a lot of people. Can you explain what neuromodulation is, what somebody that may be undergoing a trial or using that type of technology may experience?
So neuromodulation, so we've really developed a complex set of electrical waveforms that allows us to deliver these very low intensity electrical pulses into the spine without causing any superficial pain or discomfort. And we do this in a completely non-invasive and non-surgical manner. Now, stimulation, TENS, devices may sound familiar and you may imagine, you know, finding one on Amazon for $100. This is not the same. Spinal neuromodulation is really a very unique concept that our team has developed that allows us to deliver these electrical pulses to the spinal cord without causing any superficial pain or discomfort. Now, when you look at how this operates and how this functions, due to a spinal cord injury or stroke or any other neurological trauma, the communication or the nerve signals that are flowing up and down from the brain to the spine are inhibited or are reduced in function. But they are present, they're dormant, they're weak. What the neuromodulation does is it amplifies some of these weak nerve signals that are present in the nervous system, allowing the brain to be reconnected with the rest of the body to restore function. Essentially, imagine a hearing aid, but instead of for your ears, this is a hearing aid for your spinal cord, and a pacemaker, instead of for your heart, for your spine. So when you take a pacemaker with a hearing aid, you get SCONE.
That's great. Thanks for describing it with a commonly used device that a lot of us know about already. So something that I hear a lot with patients that want to get into trials like this, they don't know how that even works. So can you explain how possibly they can get access to a clinical trial like this or find information on it and where they should go to look?
All the information related to the ongoing SCONE Continence trial is easily available on our website, www.spinex.co. And under clinical trials, we list the details of the clinical sites that are actively recruiting for the trial. So, and the contact information of the person that's responsible for that site. So if there is a site that is close to you that you know you want to reach out to, feel free to reach them. If you can't find one and want to reach us directly, the best email address for us is info@spinex.co. You can send us an email and one of us will gladly get back to you with information related to the trial. And if you need to talk to someone, one of us can definitely have a conversation with the individual interested to talk about the trial, provide more information that they're looking for, answer questions that they may have.
That's great, Parag. So we know that you've already collected a bunch of data on this trial and congrats, but let's say someone qualifies and, you know, they're at a site and they start. So what does that look like for them? Like them using this device, what's that going to look like?
So the trial is lasts for 12 weeks of treatment. So they need to come into the clinic a couple of times a week for a period of 12 weeks. So it is a commitment from their end in terms of the presence at the clinic. The expectation is for them to come in, do the initial assessment. If they meet the required criteria and are officially enrolled into the trial, they'll be receiving treatment an hour a day, twice a week for a period of 12 weeks. And at the end of the 12-week period, there'll be another round of assessments to determine the changes that occurred in the bladder, bowel, and sexual function outcomes that we're looking for. The hope is for these individuals to potentially continue on into a second phase sometime in the future, where we'll be doing a home-based trial. So they can then continue the therapy at home and wouldn't have to come into the clinic as frequently.
Great. So let's say I'm using this device. So I turn it on and then I pee. Is that how it works?
No, not as simple as that, unfortunately. We're leveraging the fact that bladder is an automatic organ and is, you know, functioning 24/7. So when you receive treatment an hour a day, twice a week, so it's just 2 hours of therapy or 140 hours of the week. What this does is it induces a concept called neuroplasticity, wherein the nerves are able to improve function and are able to retain this improved function even when therapy is not actively delivered. So the focus for the trial is to improve symptoms of neurogenic bladder, including urgency to urinate, the frequency of urination, lack of sensation of fullness of bladder that these individuals live with, and which often leads to urinary incontinence. So we're trying to improve the function on multiple aspects of neurogenic bladder. So when they receive therapy, most individuals start to observe some changes after a few treatment sessions. So the first treatment session, you may or may not feel anything. You may or may not observe any changes. It's only after a few repeated sessions is when you start, you know, observing some differences. But more importantly, these differences are observed not only when you're in the clinic, but at home in the absence of active therapy. That's really the key. The fact that you're able to retain this improved function even after you leave the clinic and are back home when your bladder is functioning more normally.
So something I hear a lot from patients when it comes to these neuromodulation trials, because we've done quite a few different ones, bladder related, not bladder related. They're always very concerned about like side effects or if it's going to hurt or anything of that nature. Has there been any type of side effects or discomfort associated with the stimulation that you guys are providing?
In all of the pilot studies that we've done so far, we've not had any serious adverse events associated with the therapy. We've had redness of the skin around the site of stimulation, which is very similar to what you'd observe with the TENS unit, which generally dissipates after a few minutes. Other than that, we've not had any major adverse events to report. In terms of sensation and comfort, the neuromodulation intensity is always maintained at a submotor threshold. And what I mean by that is it does not induce any muscle twitches or contractions in any of the muscles. the individuals may feel the therapy, may feel the buzzing on their back, but wouldn't necessarily induce any contractions. And why is that important? Because when it is at a submotor threshold, the chances and likelihood of it being uncomfortable are further minimized. The therapy in our case is, since it's sub-threshold, is very, very comfortable based on, you know, feedback you receive from patients. A lot of them, you know, when they're receiving therapy, they're comfortably seated in a sofa chair or their wheelchair. They sometimes fall asleep, and they often call it a relaxing massage. So this by no means is an uncomfortable position that we want to put the users in and drive them away.
So you're doing all this work, tons of research that goes into creating this clinical trial in the hopes, I'm sure, that eventually that you can get your product out to actually help the people that can utilize it. So can you tell us just what your vision would be ideally for this product, and once it actually transitions from the phase of being in a clinical trial to the populations that can utilize it, and how it will be applied for, you know, these people?
So if I had my way and my vision, and I'm gazing into a crystal ball here, I really would want SCONE to be the standard of care treatment for neurogenic bladder bowel sexual function, where once you've had a diagnosis of neurogenic bladder, you'd get a prescription for a SCONE device, and you'd go into a clinic. Someone would help set you up on the SCONE device, show you how to use it, do a few sessions in clinic to ensure that it's safely delivered. And then you're able to take it home and self-deliver therapy at home on a prescription, based on the prescription that is provided to you, allowing you to safely deliver therapy, make it effective, ensure that it is optimized for you and personalized for you. And every 4 weeks, 6 weeks, go back into the urologist's office and get reassessed and get the device recalibrated for your needs at that time.
Yeah, that's a beautiful vision. We all hope it works out. You know, we know as scientists that sometimes science will break your heart, but it seems like you guys have some really good lead-in data to this. And let's say, you know, I help people to find these trials, or I'm living with spinal cord injury, I'm on clinicaltrials.gov, or maybe scitrialsfinders.org, or scitrialfinder.net. Sorry, I always mix those up. And I'm looking, most of the protocols I see are just spinal cord injury, and this one looks different. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so bladder is a very interesting and unique organ. And, you know, the presentation of the condition, the symptoms are very similar in multiple pathologies, including stroke, SCI, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's in some cases, traumatic brain injury in some cases. So what we've really been able to identify is a subset of this population that have similar presentation of the symptoms. In this case, it's SCI, stroke, and MS, and are able to recruit these individuals with the same protocol, monitor the same outcomes to demonstrate safety and efficacy. So, you know, when you look up on clinicaltrials.gov or any other, you know, online platform and resource, we do stand out in some sense because of the really wide net that we have cast in terms of our inclusion criteria.
So just to back up a little bit, kind of going off of, you know, somebody that is sort of new to this world of a clinical trial, right? So they see your company and they go on the website and they see, we're currently in a clinical trial with this device. What exactly does that mean, that somebody's in a clinical trial, and why is it important to go through that step of having a clinical trial when you're introducing this new technology for something like neurogenic bladder?
Getting a little technical here, but as a class 2 non-significant risk device, based on FDA's classification, it essentially defines the category that we fall into and what the FDA would consider and look us would consider us as. So as a class 2 device, there is it's non-invasive, it's external, it's non-implantable, it has minimal risk in terms of the device itself. However, since it is an actual therapeutic device that is based on a prescription, it does require clinical data for us to demonstrate safety and efficacy to the regulatory bodies, in this case, the US FDA. So the objective of the clinical trial is to establish the safety and efficacy in a population that we eventually want approval for, with a sufficient number of individuals that are in the trial to demonstrate statistical and clinical significance. This is not something that we've come up with overnight. The trial protocol, the outcomes, is a culmination and the result of probably 10 plus years of basic work done by the team, and a culmination of hundreds and hundreds of individuals that have been part of other studies that have led us to where we are at today. So this is really this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of the effort that has gone into bringing this product to market, and with one single point agenda and objective, which is to demonstrate safety and efficacy for this population in an unbiased and independent way, with the trial being conducted at sites that are outside of the company.
Yeah, thanks so much for that, Parag. It's actually an evidence-based statement to say that people with spinal cord injuries, we know there's other conditions on the study, but one of the reasons they participate in clinical trials is to benefit people like them in the future. It's actually the third highest incentivizer, which is kind of beautifully altruistic. I mean, they might be getting tomorrow's medicine, sure, but it's really cool that people also understand that they're helping to generate what we call evidence. So after the study wraps up, let's say, can you talk a little bit about the commercialization timeline and maybe when clinicians or patients would expect to get access?
With the trial is hoping to be completed by the spring of 2024. So we're looking at about a 3 to 4 month timeline to complete the trial. And we are expected to be in front of the FDA by the end of this year, maybe early next year. Leading to the launch of the product in 2025. So if everything goes to plan, and if our all the stars line up, then the SCONE device should be available to clinicians to prescribe by next year, and for individuals to purchase and to buy next year.
You mentioned sort of at the beginning that you guys may be getting into movement disorders and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about, your second product that you mentioned earlier, and some future directions that you may expect for Spinex?
So cerebral palsy is the most commonly seen movement disorder in the pediatric population. So you have children that live with a condition, and there are about, between 500 and 800,000 children in America, and about 1 in 300 born with a condition called CP. Where they're unable to sit upright, hold their neck up, walk on their own, or live with a significant amount of spasticity. So there's multiple aspects of CP that already exists. As a platform technology, we've really been able to leverage the existing technology and create a pediatric specific product called SCIP that helps treat CP and helps children with CP learn how to sit upright, walk, and take steps on their own. This device, SCIP, has been recognized by the US FDA as a breakthrough device based on some of the early pilot work that we have presented to them. And we're hoping to have a multi-center trial for FDA approval begin sometime in the middle of 2024. And the objective would be for a child with CP to receive SCIP therapy while undergoing standard of care physical therapy in a pediatric physical therapy environment, which is a safe environment for them, and demonstrate improved function, not only when they're receiving therapy actively, but also at home in the absence of active therapy.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure all the listeners will be following this space for a very dynamic neuromodulation company that Parag has told us is not just about stimulating, but about coordinating and across different functions like bladder and then movement too. So thanks so much, Parag, for coming on. It was great speaking with you today.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. And we're really excited to, for the challenges and the road ahead of us. So, I appreciate the opportunity to share the Spinex story.
Bladder Buzz is presented by the Rehabilitation Research and Training Center on Neurogenic Lower Urinary Tract Dysfunction. The information presented in this podcast does not express the views of the individual's employer or affiliated institutions. The content is for informational and reference purposes only and should not be used as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, or as the sole source of guidance for decision-making. We advise you to always consult with a physician before making any healthcare decisions or for guidance about a specific medical condition. Thanks for listening. Come back soon.